In my opinion, there is no greater book than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I got to say the Bible because we're in church, but beyond the Bible, the best book of all times is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you haven't read it, you probably should just leave now. I think the library opens soon. In this book, we encounter the Pevensey children, and I won't give away the whole thing, but very early in the story, Edmund Pevensey manages to get into Narnia, and he encounters the White Witch. The movie is incredible, too, by the way. I've seen that probably 30 times. And he encounters the White Witch, who says she claims that she's the Queen of Narnia, and she charms him with what is called Turkish delight. It's this some sort of a pastry-looking thing, it looks, and he eats, and it's like the best thing that he's ever tasted. And he eats and eats, and he eats, but he's not satisfied. He wants more. He polishes it off, and he says to her, "Queen, can I have some more?" And she makes him promise that he's going to bring his three siblings back into Narnia. And when he does that and brings them to her palace, to her castle, then he'll have all the Turkish delight that he could ever want. It turns out that this Turkish delight is exactly what ends up being his downfall. That's all I'll give away to you. But he eats and he eats and he's never satisfied. We're in our series on the Beatitudes called Character Counts, and these are from Jesus' statements of blessing. This week, we find the fourth Beatitude. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and it says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You experience a blessing when your hunger is for righteousness, and then you will be filled. Jesus uses an image that we can all identify with here. Even though most of us have a pretty good idea where our next meal is coming from, but we do know what it's like to experience a great meal after a long day of work, a glass of cold water after you've been outside on a July day. You know the feeling that your stomach is starting to make right now because you didn't eat enough before you came, and you're thinking about the food that we're having downstairs afterwards, and you're wondering how long I'm going to go on because your stomach is reminding you that you might need a little bit of food. Jesus uses this image that we can identify with and translates it to a spiritual principle. We all know what it is to be hungry. We all know what it is to be thirsty, to a degree. We won't get into world hunger and that, but we know the feeling of hunger in your stomach. And Jesus takes this and says, okay, now we're going to talk about your spiritual life. He's saying you will be blessed when you long for righteousness the way you're longing for those amazing cheese and crackers that you know are waiting for you right downstairs. That cup of coffee that's just like you got the headache because you haven't had enough yet, and maybe you have a little bit of an addiction to caffeine like me, and you just need some food and you need your coffee. Blessing is when you long to connect with God in the way you long to connect with food. It's when you need God the way you need that first cup of coffee in the morning to be functional. When you long for righteousness. Now, this word righteousness, I think we need to park on for a couple minutes because it's one of those churchy words that a lot of us, we hear the word righteousness and we think of something like self-righteous. Like, I'm better than you, I know what's right, and I'm going to tell you every area of your life that you're doing wrong. It's kind of a cultural thing. The word righteous immediately, for many people, it just has a negative connotation. We think self-righteousness. And we've all encountered that type of person, but that couldn't be further than what the scriptures talk about when the word righteousness is used. It's actually pretty much the opposite in a lot of ways. Righteousness in scripture is three things. It's a smooth way or a path, something that's justice or a judge, something that is accurate, something that is right, something that is fair, something that is perfect. The book of Leviticus talks about scales. Righteous scales are when there's fair measurement. So when people are measuring out things to trade, things to sell, it's an accurate, it's a fair, it's a righteous measurement. So if the meter on the taxi or the Uber is accurate, you're getting the right amount of mileage for what you're paying for, it's righteous. If your teacher is righteous, they grade your assignment based on what you deserve. It's accurate, it's fair, it's fitting. If your electric bill is righteous, you're getting billed for the amount of electricity that you're using, and so on and so forth. Accurate, fair, true, honest, perfect. The book of Romans talks about it this way in Romans chapter 1. The gospel is the righteousness of God in the gospel, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Righteousness from God that has been revealed. Through the gospel, through the good news of Jesus, we are made right. We're not better than people. We haven't done anything. In fact, it has nothing to do with what we've done. The word gospel that the apostle Paul uses is the good news. It's a gift. It's a sacrifice. We are made righteous. We're not self-righteous. We're not, you're wrong, I'm right. This is in humility. It's revealed, and it's a gift. It's the good news from God. It's the understanding that I'm actually the complete polar opposite of self-righteous. I am desperately and completely and utterly sinful. I need to be made right before God. That's what this is talking about. And this happens through Jesus. So righteousness is to recognize that I'm actually anything but. It's to surrender to God, allowing Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to make us pure and holy in God's sight. And so Scripture tells us that if you have surrendered to Jesus, you are already clean. You are already righteous. If you've not surrendered, that hunger and thirst you feel in your life is going to keep building and building. And as you try more and more things, as we try more and more things to fulfill us, they're just going to become less and less effective. And if that's you, I believe God is probably trying to get your attention. He's trying to reach out to you through that. So now when we think it, take what we just have talked about righteousness, and go back to this beatitude. You're blessed when you hunger and thirst for Jesus. You're blessed when you long for Jesus, because the only true righteousness is Jesus himself, the one who has made us that way. You long to be connected with him, to be made right by him. Where you are blessed when you long for Jesus the way you long for a cup of cold water after being out in the yard in the middle of a July day. Eugene Peterson, a late pastor and author of a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, he put it this way. He said, "You are blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat." When you work up a good appetite for God. So blessing, or happy, or content, or favored, or well-being, Jesus is saying that comes from a longing for him. We all can identify with physical hunger and thirst, but we can, I think, even more, if we really examine deep in us, we can all the more examine spiritual hunger and longing and thirst in our lives. When we're young, we have this longing and need to know that we're loved. Will I be connected with somebody? Will people accept me? Will I do something with my life that has meaning? What do I want to be when I grow up? When we're old, we want to know, am I still loved? Are people going to come see me? Do people still care? Am I going to leave a legacy that matters? And when we're in the middle, we're just kind of doing something like this, about 1,000 miles an hour, worrying about the next bill, the argument, the kids, the home, the success, etc. And then we get overwhelmed and confused, and we medicate on anything and everything we can get our hands on because we don't want to face those questions that we seem to ask a little bit easier when we're young and we're old. Maybe you could put it this way. You're blessed when you hunger and thirst for Jesus in the same way that you're trying to get the promotion. In the same way that you're trying to get the attention of that special someone, or the same way you're hungering and thirsting for that new weird Tesla truck that looks like a pyramid on wheels that's coming out. Or the bigger house, or the recognition, or to finally get accepted, or to get into the school you want, or to get a certain number of likes or followers. When you long for Christ in that way, then you're going to be experiencing a real blessing. When you have that passion, that intensity, that desire, then you will be filled. There's an incredible verse in the book of Jeremiah that speaks of God's care. Many people know it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's a great verse. That's a great comfort for a lot of people. But there's two verses immediately after, which to me are even more powerful. We lean on that first verse quite a bit, but in light of everything we've been talking about, look at what Jeremiah says in the next two verses. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We have a little bit of a part in it too. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's a kind of a fable that I read in regards to this verse and what we've been talking about. It's a little bit cryptic, but I think it gets the point across. One day, there's a student approaches a wise teacher. And he says to the teacher, he says, "How do I find God? I've had so many things going on in my life, and I just don't know which end is up, and I don't know what to think, and I don't know where to find him." And so the teacher says, "Hey, let's go for a walk." And the teacher, they go for a walk, and they come by a lake, and the teacher says, "Hey, come wade out in the lake with me for a second." And so they wade out in the lake, and the teacher grabs the student and, like, shoves him under the water and holds him there for about 15 seconds. And then pulls the student up, and the kid's like, "What are you doing?" And the teacher says, "When you finally long for God in the way you just longed for air, then you will find him." Of course, we're not condoning holding people underwater under any circumstances. Let's make that very clear. It's a little cryptic and odd, but it gets the point. When we have that kind of longing for God, we're going to find him. But the problem is for most of us, we've got about 32,000 things going on in our minds at any given point that we're chasing, that we're doing, that he's just about 30 places down on the list, and so we don't even think of him. But he fills us when we seek him with that level of intensity. When we seek him, as Jeremiah said, when you seek him with all your heart. When you seek him the way the student sought air. Or the way we seek our degrees, our careers, our love interests, etc. Let's go back to the Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You will be filled. Last part of it. First off, notice this phrase. This isn't something that you're doing. This isn't try really hard and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And this is, I'm not at all, I'm about as far from a grammar person as you can get. Those of you who know me know that very well. But to be filled means something that is happening to you. And this is something that God is doing. This is not you trying really hard. This is the work of Christ. This is surrender. This is God will work in you. Jesus makes us right, and the barrier of sin, guilt, and shame that stand between us and God is torn down. That allows God to come into our lives and to fill us. When we surrender, Jesus makes us righteous, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us and to transform us from the inside out. And as we hunger and thirst for more of Jesus and more of the Spirit, God begins to prompt us to serve him, to dig deeper into his word, to actually explore this more, to say, you know what, I've got 100 different good options, but I'm going to choose what's best. And I'm going to learn what it means to forgive others and to offer forgiveness to others, to offer God my time and serve him in areas I'm passionate about or other areas. Surrendering our plans to him, our family, our ask God into your decision on where you're going to college and what to do with your life. Feeding the things in you, asking God to move in your life in all areas. Maybe putting off Facebook in the morning so you can spend time in God's word and not just get caught up in that trivial nonsense that I do. As the Spirit prompts him, prompts you to seek him, you'll notice more and more, degree by degree, how you're getting filled. As you serve, as you find a niche, you will feel yourself to start to come alive as God works in your life. And you'll feel a filling up like you won't get from all the other things that you've been trying. And this is exactly the opposite of the message that our culture tells us. Every message that screams at us is do exactly what you want, whenever you want, and you will be more fulfilled than you can possibly imagine. But if you've been around for a little while, you've tried that a couple times. Well, I'm going to do this, and once I get that, man, everything will be great. And then I get it, and it's mediocre, kind of good sort of ish. Jesus says the things like, he who wants to be first should be last. Jesus says things like, if you want to follow me, you must. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. As we surrender, as we give everything back to him, as we recognize who he is and who we aren't, we get filled, or we begin to get filled, and it happens gradually, and it has ebbs and flows. But this goes over time, more and more, and as we surrender, as we serve, as we connect with him, the filling happens, and it happens, and it happens. Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus, the food and drink. When you go to him, that nagging hunger in your life will begin to be satisfied. That thirst will be quenched. Late St. Augustine put it this way. I love this quote. God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in him. Let me read that again because I know it's different from what's on the screen. God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in him. This series on the Beatitudes that we're looking at, Jesus talks about blessing. Some translations say happy, some say fulfilled. One I read, you are to be congratulated when, like a celebration. You are to be congratulated when you hunger and thirst for Jesus himself. All those other appetites are kind of like Edmund and his Turkish delight. It tastes really good and it's awesome. And then at the end you're like, yeah, man, I want some more. This didn't quite do it. And then it leaves you wanting a little bit more and a little bit more. Last couple verses, then we'll end. This is from the book of Isaiah 55. He says this, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy milk, wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest fare. I love that. Why spend my money, my energy, everything I have on those things that I know deep down really aren't going to cut it? They're not going to satisfy. You are to be congratulated when you hunger and thirst for Jesus himself, because then and only then will you be filled. Let's pray. Lord, challenge us in this. Challenge me in this. We all chase so many things. So many things that we know do not satisfy. So many things that we know do not fill us. Lord, help us to see you for who you are. Help us to see your grace and your mercy in everything that you give to us. Help us to rest in that. Help us to enjoy that. Help us to be filled by that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.